Good morning. Who do we have here? Miss Deborah from Rise Recovery. Come on down. Deborah, we got you a Baby Believers book. Congratulations. We are so excited for you to be part of the family here. Guys, welcome to the Crossing Church. That's the best way to start. It's the best way to start a church sermon is to be able to bring somebody up. And were you baptized, Deborah, or did you just decide to make a commitment to the church? You were baptized. Awesome. Congratulations. All right. When somebody decides to surrender their life to Christ, it's always an exciting thing here at the Crossing Church. That's what we're all about. That's why we planted this church to be here in the first place. We want to be able to save people. We want to be able to bring people closer to God in any way that we can, in any ministry that we can. And so we're always switching things up and doing everything we can to try to draw a light to the lost world around us. If you guys would look into your bulletins, there are some other events coming up. We have a Nerf and Nachos event coming up for our little ones. And that's in a couple weeks. So if you guys have little ones between third and eighth grade, on the back of it, it tells you all the info that you need to know for it. We're trying to shake some things up in our children's ministry. We have some newer events that we're going to be trying this year as well. Just to draw just a different type of crowd for different things that we've been doing. If you have people that are interested in that, or if you'd be interested in volunteering to help with that, please give us some feedback on that as well. Wes, are you talking about the benefit at the end? Is that what you're going to talk? Okay, I'll let Wes talk about that because he has more details than I do. But we are excited that you guys are here with us here at the Crossing Church. We have lots of things going on, but we are talking today about change, all right? I believe that we are in a new season, right? As you guys can look outside, we have hit a new season. Winter is done. Finally, right? There's none of those. Yeah, I know. There's no more of those 70-degree days and then 25-degree days the next day, right? I think that, but here's the thing. I think spring's about to skip real quick. We're about to be in the summer really quick because it was like 80. It was like 80 degrees this week. It was super hot. But I feel like we're in a seasonal change right now. And as it gets warmer outside, we do different things with our lives. We go outside more. Most of you guys will start wearing shorts. Some of you guys are like strictly jean only. I don't get it, but it is what it is. But we start changing what we wear. We start changing our habits. We start changing our schedules to be outside a little bit more. For you guys that have kids, you're going to the parks more. It's just, there's just a seasonal change, right? And I think that even in scripture, we see a lot of times that there's change, that God has used seasons to help us understand that there's different seasons in our lives as well, that there's opportunities for change. In the summer, you know, that as plants grow and they react and respond to the sun, I believe that's a great opportunity for us to do the same thing, for us to be able to look at our lives and say, you know, it's time for us to start moving, it's time for us to start getting closer to the Son of God and figure out what we can do in our lives to switch some things up. And so the title today is Time for a Change, and it's from going through motions to genuine maturity. And what I want to talk about today is more times than not, we get into these funks, these routines in our lives. And seasonal change is a great opportunity for relational and personal change as well. And as we jump into a new season in the calendar year, this is an opportunity for you to jump into a new season in your life. And look at your lives and evaluate, you know, what have I been doing? What have I been going through? What motions have I just been redundantly doing? How have I been stagnant? Because I'm tired of being here. You know, a lot of us can look at our lives and say, I'm just kind of tired for what I've been kind of going through over and over. And I almost feel like a robot that I've just been doing A, B, and C for so long. And I look back at the last year, I look back at the last season, I'm like, it's just the same thing. I don't really feel like I've grown. I don't really feel like I've matured. I don't feel like anything new is within me. I don't feel more developed. And that's what we're going to talk about today, is just that danger of what can happen with going through the motions, but also what genuine maturity can look like to move ourselves from the motions of life into a mature person that we can evaluate ourselves and say, hey, I'm different now. I want you guys to be able to leave today and look at the next 6 months of your life and then look back at today and say, you know what? Lots of things have changed in my life because I decided to stop going through motions and I started to take things seriously in my relationship with God and other people, and my life is different because of that. So if you guys would like to follow along with us today, there is a little note, piece of notes in your guys' bulletins that you guys can follow along with us to kind of write some things down. We're going to look at some truths about maturity and about motions, the dangers of motions, and then we're going to look at some applicable things at the end. What you're going to learn very quickly at the Crossings Church if you're visiting with us is that I'm not here to give you guys a motivational speech. That's not my job. And I don't think that's any preacher's job if he's called by Christ. Any preacher's job is to call people not to be motivated, but to move. We're called to look at God's word and inspire the congregation to be able to leave this place changed and transformed in a way that they're going to do things differently when you leave. If you come in here and you just want to hear something cool and get pumped up and you want to leave and wait till next Sunday, that is not a church. That is an entertainment facility. You might as well go to the circus. But if you really want something different, if you come to church with the right heart, you're coming to church to leave with something new in your hands that you can do this week to look back at your life and say, something is different in me now because I didn't go to some circus. I went to a workshop. I went to go get developed. I went to go get some training. I went to go get encouraged. I went to go get equipped. It's like men that go into war in the Old Testament, and then they go back to camp. They don't just sit there and sleep. They don't just sit there and joke around. They train because they got to go back out and fight again. They don't get lazy. They don't get passive. They don't go through motions because they realize that there's a battle at stake, and they've got to learn how to fight better to make sure that they survive that war. You guys are all at war right now. We are all going back into the world after you guys leave today. And you can make a choice. Is this your time to relax and sit and get in the motions and go through your normal day? Or is this time for you to get equipped and get ready and get prepared for what you're about to walk back into? That's what we're going to be talking about today, is the danger of having one mentality over another and how we can transform us from one mentality to another. So we got four truths we're going to talk about with maturity and with motions today, if you guys want to follow along. So the first thing we talk about with maturity is, number one, maturity is God's design for his people. Wouldn't it be so much easier if we were just all born developed? If we all popped out like little boss babies, you know? You guys have seen that cartoon, right? The little boss baby, Alec Baldwin's got the voice and he comes out with a little business suit on and he's like ready to work. Wouldn't it be so much easier if we were just developed and we were already mature and we already knew everything? It would make life so much easier. Parents, wouldn't it be so much easier if your kids already knew how to go potty? Wouldn't it be so much easier if your kids knew how to drive you around? If your kids knew how to balance a checkbook, if your kids knew how to make their own dinners, right? It would make life so much easier if we just knew these things. But that was never God's design. God never designed us to be developed when we were born. But God's design has always been for us to go through a process of maturity. It says in Hebrews 5, 12 through 14, it says, in fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. You see, the writer of Hebrews here is very frustrated, and in a way, he's rebuking believers for remaining spiritual infants, understanding that there is a time that you're supposed to be a spiritual infant, but the design is not meant for you to stay a spiritual infant. And that there is a design for you to mature as you walk in your relationship with God. And today is not a day that's going to call us all to be on the same level, because we're clearly not, we never will be. But for us to understand that there is a process in maturity, and you are somewhere on that line today. But recognizing that you're on the line in the first place is the biggest step to realizing that you need to continue to go somewhere with it. Another verse here, Ephesians 4, 14 and 15 says, then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, and blown here and there by every wind of teaching. Instead, speaking truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. You see, infants, when they get into water, they don't know what to do, right? The water controls them. They don't know how to swim. They don't. But as you grow up, most of you learn how to swim, right? Most of you can get, and I have a funny story I can talk about J-Tone, but I'm not going to say it right now. But there's a story from camp that was pretty funny. But most of you can learn how to swim. Most of you can learn that there's things, and maybe you're like, I will never swim. I will never be able to swim. You learn how to float, right? At least you can be in somewhat control. Well, I just don't float, Jake. Well, what about that? Well, you know there's been things that have been invented to help people float called lifesavers, right? Called floaties, right? If you even want to be out of the water, they got things now called boats, right? You ain't got to be in the water no more. But here's the thing. As you grow up, you find those things. You learn those things. You develop those things. And what the scriptures are saying here is that if you're a little baby and you go back out into the world, the water of life is going to control you. You're going to go back and forth in life, and things are going to come. Your job's going to suck, and you're going to get fired, or you're going to get into a divorce, or you're going to get into these bad situations, you're going to get into an addiction to a habit, and these waves are going to keep crashing against you, and you're not going to know how to respond because you're still a baby. Just like a baby that walks into water doesn't know how to respond. But as you mature, and as you develop, and as you grow, and as a baby learns how to swim and learns that there's resources available, just like that, Scripture says that you'll be able to speak truth and love, and that we'll be able to grow in every respect to be the mature body of Him. And you'll learn how to deal with these things. You'll learn how to handle these things. But you have to understand that that's God's design for you. There is no secret formula to instantly become a mature disciple. It is a lifelong process. And if you choose to follow Christ, you have signed up for this lifelong process because it is God's design and it will always be God's design for your life to learn maturity as you walk through life. Number two with maturity is understanding that maturity is an ongoing process. Okay, I know it's His design. Maturity is something that He wants to do within me. It's in my DNA to mature. But when do I finish? Where's the graduation? When have I arrived? Well, you won't. And that can be incredibly frustrating, or that can be incredibly encouraging to know that there's other things you still have to learn about life. You see, maturity is an ongoing process. In 2 Peter 3:18, it says, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." Circle that word, grow. You see, that's an infinite word. That word never has an ending. To understand that grow is a word that will never end is important to this idea of what it looks like to understand ongoing processes in our lives. We will always be growing, and there will never be an arrival point. Like I said earlier, all you guys are in different spectrums. I'm on a different spectrum on these different lines in our lives with growth and maturity. Some of us are very developed in our relational abilities. And some of us are very stunted in that because we're very immature in that. Some of us are very in-depth with our spiritual abilities, with our relation to God and in prayer and in things like that. And some of us are very stunted and we don't talk to God and approach Him the way that we should. Some of us are very deep in our Bible knowledge and in our application. And some of us are very immature and infant in that. It doesn't matter where you're at on it, but just understanding and recognizing that there is always something to be learned in your relationship with God. There's always something to be growing in. And Peter says grace and knowledge are two of the most important things, right? Grace and knowledge in your relationship with God. You know, I watch as people get a little older, they tend to be one of two kind of people. They become bitter or they become fun. You know, like when you think of like old people, right? You got two different types of old people, and I'm not saying anybody in here is old, so I'm not talking about anybody in here unless you feel that way. If you identify as an old person, please be an old person, right? But if you are old, which I'm not calling you, there's nice ones and mean ones, man. Like that's, I don't know how better to say it. There's people that you walk up to and you make a mistake and they're so bitter and they're so mean about it. And they're like, I would have done it differently my way, you know, blah, 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 blah. And they get frustrated. But then there's ones that when you mess up and you make a mistake, it's no big deal. And I think about God grows that within us, that we learn to either be more patient people and more graceful people, or we learn to be more impatient people and more bitter in our lives. And here's the thing that's cool about that as a mark of maturity is how do you respond to other people when they make mistakes? You know, as a campus minister, I just want to wring college kids' necks all the time, right? And I'm just like, I wish I could just control you and make your life easier, because the decisions that you're making are so incredibly dumb and it makes no sense, but you do it anyway, right? And that's my mind that thinks that way, right? Because I've watched it and I've went through campus ministry, and I didn't just go through college myself. I've been working with college students for over a decade now, and I see what happens when these things happen. And there's a way to approach that where I could just say that to college students, but I understand that I was that dumb college student once, and I made those same mistakes, and I did the same things with my dating relationships, with how I spent my money, with my responsibilities, with my diligence. And there's a way that I can either choose to wring people's necks and make it much harder on them, or that I could have some grace because I used to be that kind of person. And then think about which one you would respond better to. And then ask yourselves, are you really growing in the grace and maturity that God has given you? Have you dealt with patience more than you should with people? Because God has been incredibly patient with all of you. God has been incredibly patient with all of us, and he's given us an abundance of grace through all of our mistakes. And a mark of maturity is to ask ourselves, are we showing grace to others? It's an important thing for us to recognize in our lives. Philippians 3, 12 through 14 says, not that I've already obtained all of this, or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. You see, it's important for us to understand that maturity is always requiring us to press forward and not become complacent, not just settle for our emotions, not just settle for our reactions, not just settle for our life circumstances, but to have a perseverance that we aren't there yet, and that we know that there's somewhere else we need to get to. And then once we get there, realizing that we're not there yet and there's somewhere else that God is pushing us to. And then it's going to be an ongoing process for the rest of our lives. Can be incredibly encouraging to know that there's so many more things that God has in store for you. You know, an incredibly blessed person can feel like their life is in a great place, but to think that God has more in store for that person is incredibly encouraging. For you to maybe be your place, be like, I want anything. I could use a little bit of blessing, you know, just a little bit of good things going on in my life. Well, that's a great place to start, is that knowing that God has something incredibly good in store for you, but it's going to require you to not just be where you're at right now. He's got to take you somewhere else. He's got to push you somewhere else, and that pushing is never going to stop. Okay, let's talk about motions a little bit, okay? So we see the goodness and the truth about maturity and what it can bring in our lives, but what about these motions that we talked about? What's the big deal, Jake, with motions? What's the big deal about routines? What's the big deal about that in our relationship with God? Why is it so bad? Well, point number three is that motions create rituals without relationship. Motions can create rituals without relationship. See, in Isaiah 29, it says, these people come near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship of me is based merely on human rules that have been taught. You see, this idea of doing things in a ritualistic way takes out all of the power of God. And I was talking about this in our teacher service today, and I was like, you know, even the Crossings Church here, we can struggle with this. Every church struggles with this, but since I'm a member of this congregation, I will talk about my church. I will throw shade on my own church because we have to, right? It's a part of, I'm not going to sit here and say, this is the greatest church in America and we have the best things, we have everything great here. No, we have issues too. One of the issues that every church has is that they value structure over relationship. And here at the Crossings Church, we have a couple things we put in place. We have cell, we have cross chats, we have church, we have small groups, we have things like that that we do that have deep Bible roots, like our small group meetings. You know, we call them cells here at the church. But why do we do that? You're never going to find anywhere in Scripture says you need to have cell once a week or every other week or whatever it may be. But we decide to implement that as a church. Why? Well, we see in the book of Acts that the disciples met together daily. They shared everything in common. They met in the temple courts. They had relationships. They had depth. And so we put something together in the church that helps promote what God is saying through Scripture to make us closer to Him. Well, it doesn't say anywhere in church about cross chats. Where are we going to see cross chats in the church? Well, we put something into place in the church that we see as an opportunity to draw a crowd of lost people to show them what it looks like to have a healthy relationship with God. And so we put these structures in the church based on biblical truths to help us get closer to our relationship with God. But here's the problem, guys, and it's not just our church, it's most American churches, is some of you and some of us in this room value that structure more than you do the relationships. And we put a higher emphasis on being present than we do the power of why we put those things into place in the first place. You see, at the church here, we do this 101 class, and we talk about why we put these things into place, why we do cell, why we do cross chats, why we do Sunday morning services, and the importance of these things. But here's the thing I want to talk about with you guys, right? Is that sometimes people think if they don't go to cell or they don't go to a cross chat, that they're not right with God. Or if they don't go to church, they're not right with God. Or if they don't go to a structured thing, they're not right with God. And then you get this big old argument, and then you go to these things for a couple of reasons. Because either one, you have been brainwashed to think that if you go to that thing, you are now right with God. Or you go to that thing because you don't want somebody else yelling at you because you're not at that thing, right? I got to be at cell today or a small group today, because if not, my cell leader, my small group leader is going to get on me, right? I got to go to cross chat because I don't want somebody else to say I'm... And so we get this mindset that we look at these structured things and we make it more about that than what the structured thing was put in place in the first place to do for you. You follow me so far? So what I want to talk about for this whole idea of the motions of rituals is for you to understand one thing. If you feel like you're going to these things because you have to, you are doing things out of ritual. If that ever crosses your mind, I have to be at church today. I have to go to cell. I have to be at cross chat. That is a ritualistic way to look at your relationship with God and your relationship with the local church. You see, we don't put these things in place, and God didn't inspire us to put these things in place because we should have to do these things. God put these things in place so that we would want to do these things, that we would desire to be at these things. You see, whenever I go to small group, I don't feel like I have to be there. Guys, I want to be there because the week sucks, and there's lots of crazy stuff I got to deal with in the world. There's people that are crazy, and then there's situations there, and I got stress, and I got baggage, and I got issues, and I got kids, and I got a wife, and I got all these other things that are just that stress me out, and I got a whole life I live. And that small group is a time for me to come together with other people and feel encouraged and feel empowered and feel like I'm not in it alone. Just like they did in Scripture. But just because the church puts a title on that meeting doesn't mean that it takes away the power of what the meeting was intended to be in the first place. You understand? And for so many times, we go to these things and we make them ritualistic. All right, what verse are we walking through today? What are we going to talk about today? All right, see you guys next week. All right, welcome back next week. What are we going to talk about today? What are we going to do today? And you take the power out because you make it about the title meeting. You don't make it about what the meeting was meant to be in the first place. You see, I don't want to come to church just because I got to be here from Sunday from 8 to 10 or whatever it may be that I have to be here today. I come because I miss you guys. Come because you're my family. I come because I love this congregation. I come because there's brothers and sisters in here that I feel like are literally brothers and sisters. I come because there's people in this room that I don't even know you yet. But I'm grateful that you came to our home and that you wanted to visit with us. And you have an opportunity to see something that a lot of us have seen in our relationship with God, that we are so excited that you might catch a glimpse of that today in our home. That's why I come to church. I don't go to cross chats because my cell leader tells me that if I don't, the snacks are going to suck today, right? You're on the snack list and you're going to suffer if your snack doesn't show up. No, I went to Cross Chats because I had friends in the world that there was no place on campus that had some kind of hangout like a Cross Chat. If I wanted to meet somebody and show them what a relationship with God was like, there was nowhere on campus that I could take them into a group setting and say, this is the place that you're going to get to see God's power. You're going to get to see the light in my friendships with my friends. You're going to get to see an opportunity to see who God is in a real way. So I wanted to go to Cross Chat, and I wanted to bring anybody that I could find to Cross Chats. And which one are you guys today? Do you feel like you have to be here? Or do you feel like you want to be here? Because that will heavily determine if you're doing things out of ritual or if you're doing things out of relationship. And there's a danger in the ritualistic side of your relationship with God. Matthew 15 says, "These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules." See, Jesus reiterates this. And he warns that there is a type of worship that lacks true connection. There's a way to look like you're doing things right, and you have zero connection to Christ. You see, what we're going to do here in a second is we're going to take communion, because at times in churches, this tends to be a ritualistic thing that we do. We tend to take that juice and we take that cracker and we sing the song and we pop it in our mouths and we act like it's done and then we move on with our lives. But if there's anything you do throughout the week, this is the least ritualistic thing you should do. This is the moment that you get to take a time out of your week to look at what Jesus did on the cross for your entire life, to have an opportunity to get to know him better. A man killed himself for you. A man loved you so much that he died on a cross to show you what real love looks like. And are you going to take that moment and act like it's just another thing in the week? Are you going to take that moment and recognize how intimate it is meant to be for what you are meant to do for the rest of your week? That's why we do it every week, to bring us back to this opportunity, not to do it in a ritualistic weekly format, but to remember this every single week to drive how we live our lives. That we have an opportunity to have a relationship with somebody who loves us so deeply and to say, this is what's going to motivate me. This is going to get me out of these motions all week, is because this man sacrificed himself, and that's going to build maturity in your life. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a moment. I'm going to say a prayer. Get our hearts right. Get our minds right. Don't act like this is another ritual, guys. Don't act like this is just one more thing throughout the week. Remember what was done for you. Remember what your Lord did for you. And give it an opportunity to change your life. Let's pray. God, I thank you so much for sending your son Jesus down. And he did nothing wrong. He lived a life that was worshiping of you. He lived a life that was holy. He lived a life that was blameless. Scripture calls him a sheep, a lamb. And God, he was sacrificed. And God, I pray that I can remember that and let it change my life. Let it make me realize that I shouldn't just do the same thing every week, but God, my whole life should be a sacrifice to you. And I pray that us in this room can remember the seriousness, and that this shouldn't be something that we do as a ritual every week, but God, this is something that we should do that changes our lives, that we should want to do every week, to become incredibly grateful for the sacrifice of your son. So thank you for Jesus dying on the cross. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The fourth point about motions, the danger here is that motions create a lukewarm faith. Motions can create a lukewarm faith in our lives. We can still be in a relationship with God, but it doesn't mean that it's good. And we've heard that lukewarm verse, right? In Revelation 3, 5 through 16, it says, I know your deeds, they're neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other, so because you were lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. You see, that idea of how frustrated this spiritual apathy is, this passiveness is incredibly offensive to God. And it's a sharp, like when you think about spitting something out of your mouth, you know, my mom used to have this big old cup. It was a Quick Trip cup, right? I don't know if Reggie's got his Slim Jim cup here. Of course he doesn't. The one day he doesn't have it on him, right? But Reggie always carries around this fat Slim Jim cup, right? And my mom used to have one of those as a kid, as a Quick Trip cup. And she always filled up with ice water. And it was just, it'd always be running around the house with ice water. And whenever I was a kid, that was like the holy chalice of our house, because it was the only thing that was cold for us to drink out of, you know, because we didn't ever have anything cold. And so we'd be outside playing, we'd run inside, we'd grab my mom's cup, and it was like our community gauntlet too. We just chug out of this thing, and we'd put it back, and we'd run back outside, and we'd run back outside as fast as we could, right? And we'd keep going back in. But every once in a while, my mom used to put wine in it, like warm wine. And I don't know why, but she just did. But, you know, I'm a little kid. I ain't trying to run inside and inspect a cup before I drink out of it. It's the water cup, you know? And so run outside, playing with my friends. I'm like, dude, I'm thirsty. I'm sweating. I run in there. I grab that thing. And once, it was the last time I drank out of that cup. Because I got a big old swig of wine. And I instantly spit that stuff all over, followed by a smack by my mom for wasting her wine and even taking it in the first place. It was the most disgusting thing I had ever tasted. But I remember, it's just how fast your mouth rejects something that it knows it's not supposed to have in it, right? I remember years down the road, I had a friend out here at Wasabi, the sushi place in Eversville. They have some outdoor patio furniture that's like the metal laced stuff, so you can see through it to like your legs and stuff like that when you're sitting in it for like the rain to kind of dry it out pretty quick. But my buddy went to the bathroom, and I took his Pepsi, and I took the little soy sauce thing, and I poured it down the straw all the way and filled it all the way up. You couldn't tell because it's Pepsi, it's same color, right? And so he comes back out, and he takes a quick drink of his Pepsi, and straight soy sauce, and it came right back out. But he didn't have time to process that the table wasn't completely covered, so he literally just spit it all out, and it went straight on his pants, right? Because of how fast you can't think whenever something comes in your mouth that you know shouldn't be there, right? That is how God is describing passive Christians in the church. That's how lukewarm Christians are described in Scripture, that it doesn't sit right with God. That it's very frustrating and offensive to God that we would come here and pretend like we have a relationship with Him, but we don't do anything transformative with it. It's incredibly dangerous to be in this position, guys. 2 Timothy says the same thing. Having a form of godliness but denying its power have nothing to do with such people. You see, there is a way to look religious on the outside yet lack the transformative power of Christ. And so not only is this ritualistic thing with the emotions dangerous, but also the idea that you can still be involved and not really be involved. That is incredibly frustrating to God, incredibly in a very distasteful way. And so if you are sitting here and you say you have a relationship with God and you know who God is, but you are doing nothing with it and you have no power working within you, I just need you to know today that that is incredibly distasteful to God. And you need to figure out which way you're trying to go. You either need to lean in or lean out, because God says it's better to be one or the other. You don't want to be stuck in the middle when it comes to relationship with God. We've got to figure out where to go with that. And I think that's where a lot of people can lay in most places, is that they want it, but they're not doing anything to attain it. And so that's kind of where I want to start us off today, with this whole idea of motions and and maturity and the strengths and weaknesses here, because what I want to talk about now is just now that we kind of know these things, what's the application? Okay, what do I do to get out of these emotions? What do I do to jump into maturity? What do I need to do to work on these things? All right, well, there's three things I want to talk about today to how to move in this direction, out of these emotions and move back to maturity or move into maturity for the first time. And number one we're going to talk about is I have to renew my mind. If you're going to move from motions and doing these regular things into a maturity and real maturity, you have to renew your mind. You have to change the way you think. Romans 12:2, this is one of the very first verses I ever memorized in my life. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You can't let the culture and the world control your mind, control how you think, control how you feel, control how you act. You have to change the way you think and be transformed by the way that your mind functions. We've got to change our mindset. It can't be about what you want to do. It can't be about what you think is best. You know, a lot of us, we think about our kids, we think about our families, we think about our social statuses, we think about sports, whatever it is. Well, Jake, you're saying that thinking about my job is wrong? Yep. You're saying thinking about sports and the things that I'm involved in is wrong, making those priorities? Yep. You're saying thinking about my family? Yep. I'm saying thinking about anything besides God is not renewing your mind. Well, what the heck? Church is about family. Church is about community and unity. Yeah, it is, but it's about how God wants to utilize those things, not about how you want to. Big difference. You see, I grew up without a dad. My dad was an alcoholic. My dad died a few years ago. He overdosed in a state that I don't even know, in a motel that I never heard about. And I always knew growing up that I was never going to be like my dad. I was going to have a different type of family. And I made that statement to myself. But there's a big difference in me saying, I want to have a family that stays together. I want to have a family that never divorces. I want to have kids that respect me. I want to have these things. There's a big difference in having that motivation and having motivation that says, God wants these things for me. God wants me to have a healthy family. God wants me to find a woman that's never going to leave. God wants these things for me. God wants me to work in this kind of situation. You see, there's a difference between what you want and what God wants in your life. Sometimes, through maturity, they will start to align. But sometimes they don't. Sometimes in your maturity, God shifts you. And you have to focus your mind on what God wants for your life, not what you want for your life. Even if they sound kind of similar, it's more about what God wants. Because now that I have that wife and now that I have those kids, it's easy for me to go back into that old selfish mindset about, all right, now what do I want to do? Now that I got it, now that God gave it to me, what am I going to do with it now? Let's throw them in sports. Let's focus on work. Let's do these. No, you got to have that mentality from the start and continue it, no matter if you acquire those things or not. To renew your mind, to focus on things above. That's what Colossians 3:2 says. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. Let God transform everything. Do you wake up in the morning focused on God? Do you wake up in the morning letting God ride and change and influence every decision that you make throughout the day? Where is your mind at today? You know, I wasn't going to do this, but I'm going to do it now. I changed my mind. Okay, so if you guys have ever studied the scriptures with us at the Crossings Church, we go through a study called the discipleship study, right? And we have this chair metaphor, right? And it talks about the throne in your life. Trying to do this all in the same camera angle because the media team told me to not move, so here I am. Okay, so if you study through Scripture, you've seen this before. This is the way that I do this in Scripture, okay? Anybody got a physical Bible in here? Brownie points if you do. Gold star right here. Look at this. All right, so when I study the Bible with somebody, and you guys, if you guys study the Bible for somebody and you walk through a discipleship study and you talk about this trait, we talk about there's three thrones in your life, okay, that could be, okay? The first image is you're in the chair, and God is not around you. God is nowhere near you. We call that a lost person, okay? We call that somebody who doesn't know Christ. We call that somebody who is in the world, okay? You run your life. This is your throne, and you live your life. And then you have the second kind of person, okay, who knows God, brings God in, okay? They're in the circle, but who's still in the seat? You are, right? And we call that a hypocrite, or maybe a lukewarm person, right? Somebody who's half in, half out. Maybe they're half seating and saying, God, you can help a little bit. You can work the finances. I'll work the girls, right? You can work this thing. I'll pick, you know, these things, right? And so we call that a lukewarm Christian, or we call that a hypocrite. A lot of people don't do this when they study the Bible anymore, but I make sure I do this every single time because I need the image to be seen, okay? There's a third type of person, and that's the person that says, you know what? It's not about me anymore. It's not about what I want to do anymore. It's about God. And if God's really going to run my life, if my thoughts are going to be driven through God, I don't want to, but it's not me anymore. And here I am now as the student. And that's my life. And I say, God, what am I supposed to do? Oh, I really want to get married, God. There's this real hot girl coming to church, God. I don't really want to. Oh, I forgot. God, what kind of woman should I be looking after? What kind of woman should I chase after? God, there's this job, man. It's lots of money, God. I could give you a lot of that money, God. It could be a big, big, big job. Oh, wait. What kind of job do you want for me to have in my life? You see, this is the image of what it looks like to renew your mind. This is the image of what it looks like to set your mind on earthly things above. This is what it looks like to go underneath the water and die to yourself to never get back in that seat again. But for so many of us, we get caught up in that idea that we are doing things for God, but we're not really doing it with God's mind and set, but we're doing it because we think it's what we are called to do. And that's what it looks like to renew your mind in a way that is mature versus going through the motions, okay? Number two is I have to deepen my connection with Christ. I have to deepen my connection with Christ. We got to take it to a deeper level, okay? It says in John 15, 4 through 5, it says, remain in me and also I remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. You see, we always have to have a connection to God. And there are certain things in our lives that require intimacy with Christ, and we have to deepen that connection to God. Think about if you've ever had a girlfriend or a boyfriend, or if you're married, and that first encounter, or if you have a really super close friend, the first time that you had that thing with them, that first moment, think back to that. Think of a person that you're super connected to now, and think about that first moment. Now, think about everything that's happened since. If you're married, think about that first time you guys went on a date. Think about the first things that you guys talked about, the things you walked through. If it's a friend, think about the first time you guys met. Where did you guys meet at? How did you guys connect? How did you guys become friends? Now think about everything that's happened in between. And think about where that relationship's at now. And think about how many things have happened in your life that have brought an incredible depth with you and that friend. You see, that's how God wants you to connect to Him. That's how God wants you to connect with Jesus and what He did on the cross. And it's meant to be a daily thing. Our lives are meant to be shared with our Creator, not thank Him and then go and live our own lives. There's an intimacy that we need to have, just like you would say that those relationships you have are not what they were when you first met, because there's a trust that has been built. There has been love, there has been tears shed, there's been joy shared, there's been encouragement along the way to build what you now have with your spouse or with your friend or with whoever it is. And Jesus is saying, I want the same thing with you. I want to share in the tears. I want to share in the joy. I want to share in the relationship, because there's so much that you can get from having that depth with me. There's so much maturity that you can have, because for some of us, maybe it was hard for you to think of a person. If I was sitting in the crowd like I was whenever I was 14 years old, I would be saying, Jake, I don't have anybody I can think of like that. I was lonely. I was depressed as a kid. And that's why Jesus says, that's why you need me in your life, to help you see that there's somebody who is always going to be here. Jake, I have trust issues. I've had people abandon me. I've had people wound me. Well, that's why Jesus says, this is why I need depth with you. I need you to trust me so you can trust others. Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on into completion until the day of Christ's coming. See, God is committed to us. He's committed to us growing. But we have to align with him. We have to cooperate with the work. We have to be there. We have to do the hard things. We have to share in it with him. So we have to deepen our connection with Christ. And then lastly, guys, is I utilize the Holy Spirit. You have to utilize the Holy Spirit if you're going to live in a mature way. Galatians 5:16-17 says, so I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. You see, the Holy Spirit is a gift. And we forget that. We forget that there was a gift given to us at the point of our baptisms, that God has had a supernatural power that works within us. You know, like, think about a gift that you guys get at Christmas time, right? There's somebody in our family, it's actually Katie's family, but I'm not going to say who it is, but he always gives me the weirdest stuff, right? She's going to know who it is after I start talking about it. But it's always the weirdest stuff that never makes sense to me. Like, one year I got like a gun holster, and I'm like, I don't even have a gun. Like, what am I supposed to do with this? Another year, he got me like this fat Crocodile Dundee knife that I'm like, where am I going to take this? Where am I going to carry this around at? I can't even use this if I go fishing. Like, what am I going to do with that thing? Put it in my teeth and jump out there and kill my own fish? Like, what do you want me to do with this thing? And I always get these weird gifts, and I'm like, I guess I just throw them in a box and put them in my garage, and I'm like, maybe if somebody breaks in, they're going to think like I'm a pretty bad dude, you know, or I'm a psycho, I don't know. But like, at least I have this box of like crazy things that are all kind of in the same area. And I'm just like, I look at these gifts and I'm like, they've been given to me, but I've never used them because I've never found use for them, right? It doesn't make any sense. But then like my wife, she doesn't like want gifts. She just wants the thing. So whenever it's like her birthday or Christmas, I don't get like a, hey, I kind of want blah, blah, blah. No, I get an Amazon link, and that's what she wants me to get her. She's like, here it is. My birthday's coming up. Make sure that's here on my birthday. We'll be good to go. Mother's Day's coming up. I want this. It's not like I want shoes. She's like, oh, no, here's the Noble shoes I want. I want this color and this size, and make sure shipping's already provided. Everything's right there. It's all good to go, right? And so it's very quick that there's no gap to not know if it's going to be used or not. Like this, her birthday just came up, and she wanted a weighted vest to jog around in for workouts, right? And so sure enough, she had a link for me. She had a link for the vest. She had a link for the weights that went in the vest and all this other stuff. And sure enough, it comes in, and within a day, she's got that thing on, and she's jogging around the neighborhood with it. And it went straight from a gift to utilization, right? And here's the thing about the Holy Spirit. It is a gift given to you all. But which kind of gift are you using it as? Is it a gift that you feel like you don't know how to use it? You don't know if it's something to be used? You're like, what is this? And it's been sitting on a shelf for years? Or is it that you know that you have to have this thing because that's what you asked for, and God gave you this transformative power, and you're not utilizing it, but finally you're like, I know, put it on, and let's get to work. Let's get going with this thing. I know I need this thing in my life to make me better. You see, I don't think a lot of us have used the power of the Holy Spirit the way that God calls us to because of how transformative it is. There's so many things that the Holy Spirit can do in our lives that you cannot do on your own. Maturity is one of those things. You cannot mature based on soul willpower. You cannot. You can't just put the have to in it to make yourself mature. You need something supernatural, and it has been given to you as a gift. And if you're wondering why you're not maturing, it's because you're trying a little too hard on yourself, and you're not letting something else that's supernatural guide you through this process. You see, in James 1:22, it says, don't merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. You understand that the Bible is a gift to us all? Have you ever thought about that? I mean, the Trinity in one, God is the Word, and the Holy Spirit's Word. The Bible is the Holy Spirit in a sense, and it is a gift given to you. Could you imagine what it would be like to, just think about that for just 1 second. Think about what it would be like to live this life with no Bible. And somebody says, well, I talked to God today through prayer, and he said I should probably steal all your money today. And somebody says, that's not what I heard God say. God said, we're supposed to go steal that guy's money today, you know? Let me talk to him again. Yeah, that sounds about right. Let's go steal that guy's money, right? Where's the authority there? You see how foolish that sounds? Oh, God was talking to me today. He says, I probably should steal your kids because I need some more kids. God says, you should steal my kids because I can't stand my kids. You take them, right? You know, where it sounds so foolish, right, to say it like that. But do you understand that's how most Christians operate? I think God's calling me to go do this. Oh, really? Why do you think that? I feel his presence within me, and it's calling me to do this. See, it sounds so foolish when it's something crazy, but when you try to justify it and there's no scripture that supports it, the culture says, that's your identity. That's who you are. It's called self-inspired theology. I feel God is calling me to do this, and there's no biblical depth or basis to it, so therefore I'm validated in my thoughts and feelings. That is a faith. It is sweeping the country, and it has been for generations. But it sounds so foolish when you put it in black and white like that, but that's literally what, honestly, a lot of us do when we don't use the Word to guide us. And I'm grateful for Wes and for his Bible knowledge and things like that, and we've been partnering with Renew, and Renew just launched something new called the Renew University, and they're going to start doing Bible classes. And I'm sitting here, if you guys think I'm a Bible scholar, I am not. If you guys are listening to me being like, man, this guy knows this stuff, I do not. I don't know the depth of Scripture. I honestly probably should know more. I've been very lazy in my faith over the years. I should probably be developed more than I am already. But then there's things that come into play, like this new thing that we're doing at Renew, that it's going to be a Bible course. And you're going to be able to go through this whole series of, I think, 8 or 9 different courses. And think about this, like at SIUE, it's like $300 for like a credit, or $350 for a college credit. So for like a 3-hour class, it's like $1,200 or something like that, $1,200 or $1,300. So if you want to take a semester at SIUE, it's like $4,000 or $5,000, right? Well, for this course, it's literally $59 for one class. And you can take it through the whole, you know, I think it's like 8 or 9 weeks, whatever it is, and then it jumps you into another course. So like after it's all said and done, it's like less than $1,000. To have this entire education cycle through for you guys. And it takes like 2 years or a little bit less than that to get through it. But I'm sitting here in my life and I'm like, I don't know enough about Scripture to think that I've arrived. I know the basics. I know enough to get up on stage and to say things out of truth and know how to apply certain things. But guys, I'm telling you right now, out of my own personal weakness, there are things going on in my life right now that I don't know how to handle. I don't know the answer to. And I'm trying to figure out how in the world I'm supposed to navigate through it without losing my mind. And I know for most of you guys, if you're honest in this room, you're thinking the same thing. There are things that are happening in our lives that we don't know how to handle. But I'm going to tell you right now, if you knew God's word the way that you ought to, it will develop you in a way that you can handle any situation in life. And I'm not there yet. I would bet that most of you guys are not there yet, because Scripture says that we're always growing. And so for me, it's an essential. I have to get into God's Word. I have to learn how to use. And that gift that He has given us needs to be utilized. And then lastly, what I want to leave you guys with is Romans 8:11. It says, and if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit dwelling in you. Guys, the Spirit is within you. If you surrender your life to Christ, it is within you, and it's drawing you, and it's pushing you to become something bigger and greater than you already are, because the Spirit is greater than you will ever be. And you have that power within you. You have that opportunity for maturity. If you're not there, guys, I want to encourage you guys to look at a relationship with God and what it can bring. If you're tired of the life you've been living, if you're tired of the rut you've been in, if you're tired of the motions, it's time to lay your life down and let something else guide you. It's time to stop using your mere willpower to get out of it and let something else with supernatural power guide you through it. And that's what our communication card is about, guys. I encourage you guys to pull out this communication card because this is your opportunity to respond to this. Guys, here at the Crossings Church, we highly value relationships with one another. But we value those relationships because of what those relationships point us to, and that's to Jesus. And I encourage you, if you're in your life and you're like, dude, I don't know how to get out of this rut. I don't know. This is something I don't know. I don't have the willpower to get out of this. I don't have the knowledge to get out of this. I don't have the understanding. I don't have the training. That's totally cool because most of us don't either. You know, we're all in this together. And we came into this church broken. And I'll tell you what, there are some things that are healed through this church, kind of like Corey was saying. You come into a stained church. Literally, there's stains all over the floor, right? Our church is, we got lots of things we got to work on this church. We're in the process, don't worry. But our people are just as stained as this floor, you know? Our people have so many issues. We have stains as well. We have things that out of our own mere willpower, we have messed up. But God has brought us together and drawn us together to be able to mature together. And that's what a healthy church does. It doesn't just raise up a few leaders to preach and to lead ministries. It raises up together. And that's our whole church theme this year, is to be united as one. And maturity is not exempt from that. My goal and Wes's goal and our church's goal, our core's goal this year, is that our church will be united as one, and with that our maturity as one will go up as a church that will be well more equipped to handle life's pressures, but will be well more equipped to help change the world. And you're a part of that world. So if you guys are interested in what we got going on, we have so many things throughout our church. There's small groups, there's Bible studies, there's events that we have, cross chats like I was talking about. The summer's getting here, but we have lots of things in the summer to get connected through still. But I encourage you guys to fill this card out today because it's your opportunity to respond and to give you something that could be supernaturally changing your life that you've just been missing out this whole time. But I'm going to say a prayer. I'm going to let the worship team come up and give you guys some further instructions. But thank you guys. And I know the summer can be an easy time to kind of take a break and get out of here. But I encourage you guys to take the summer as a way to dive in and not run away. To not take a break this summer, but use this summer to challenge yourself to grow and become something so much greater than you could have been and that you ever have been. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for your son. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for giving me an opportunity to be the man that I am. God, sometimes I forget what I was whenever I was a teenager. The things that I was so insecure about, the things that I was doing, the things that I was living in, to where I'm at, God, now, it just makes no sense. The way you transform people is unfathomable. The way you can transform somebody into something so much greater, I've seen it done with fathers, I've seen it done with sons, I've seen it done with daughters, I've seen it done with so many broken people, Lord. I'm so incredibly grateful that you provided a church that takes that seriously and that we push each other to mature. Iron sharpens iron for sure here, Lord. And I pray that everyone in this room will take that seriously and learn to love you in a way that can transform their lives and have that Spirit dwell within them and around them as they walk through their days, Lord. Thank you for your son and what he did on the cross to give us this opportunity in the first place. And it's all in your son's name I pray. Amen.